p.m. in Whitney Commons Park.
Cowboy up for the final Wolf Creek Wrangell Trail Run, brought to you by Fremont Toyota. Race day is Saturday, September 19th. Choose a 5-mile, 7-mile, or half marathon run or hike at Historic Eaton's Ranch. Every registration supports Habitat for Humanity of the Eastern Bighorns to build safe, affordable homes for local families. Don't wait. Register today at runwolfcreekwrangell.com. Supported in part by Sheridan Media and Sheridan County Travel and Tourism.
Hendo's consignment program had as many as 34 befores out on the lot, some with plows, a sparkling Honda Shadow road bike, a couple of Arctic Cat sleds, a handful of riding mowers, and 50 or more pieces of equipment priced to move. Stop in today and ask for a walkthrough and get into the machine you've been looking for without the new car smell, but plenty of get her done. And if you've got equipment you'd like to sell, Hendo's will even come and get it. Hendo's Service Center and Consignment Program on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Sheridan Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 10th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, August 3rd, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by Natural History Museum of Wyoming Executive Director Tom J. Hubert. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Floyd. How are you today?
Oh, smoky.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
We finally got a temperature we can go sit outside, but now we can't breathe. Yeah. We can't win.
Better take your inhaler out there with you, right?
Amen.
Well, the museum, when, just so folks know, how long has the museum been out there? And when did you kind of come into it?
Well, the museum out on Sheridan College campus, it's in the Mons Center, has been there for 20 plus years. It goes all the way back to... you had Dr. Ken Ohm here, and they called it the Ohm Dome at first for the Mons Center. Then Michael Flynn took over and started filling it with dinosaur bones and fossils from around the state. I came in April of last year, so I've been here about a year and a half now. And it's been a whirlwind. I mean, there's so much amazing paleontological history within 2-3 hours of Sheridan that it's kind of overwhelming at times of what direction to go, where do we go, what can we collect? And as Sheridan does, I mean, the community showed up. We have people showing up all the time now at the museum with like, hey, we found this giant bison skull. What do you think it is? I'm like, well, it's a bison antiquitus. It's, you know, 8 to 10,000 years old potentially.
Fantastic.
So it's been really exciting to see the growth and the trajectory, you know, really to the point that, we had some opportunities to expand and grow as a museum this last year and a half. So that's been exciting.
How busy was the museum this summer? You said it was really kicking in there.
Yeah, it's been busy. We've been having school groups, a lot of tourists stopping, especially at our new location up in Ranchester. It's been crazy. And, you know, the digging this summer has been a little slow. For the museum, usually we have a much more active collections program where we can get out and go dig some dinosaurs up. But I single-handedly ended the drought because every time I planned a dinosaur dig, it had rain. So I started making the joke that I can end this drought anytime we want. Just tell me to go schedule a dinosaur dig and we'll get rained out.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, because you can't dig in the mud.
No, well, in that, and it, you know, most people around here are familiar with the bentonite clay, and the minute you get that wet, it is just, it's slippery and gross, and you can't drive on it, and safety is always the number one concern. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we're outdoors, and we're going to contend with things like rattlesnakes and cactuses and heat and sun, but whatever decisions we can make to put everyone that's coming with on the digs in the best position to be safe and have an enjoyable dig. And most importantly, have the opportunity to make history by digging up something that we didn't even know it existed before the day started. You know, it's been a struggle that way of just getting people out and adding to our collections and saving the stuff before it gets ruined.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine the steps you got to take and then adding rain on top of all of that. Now, you said you've expanded.
We have.
Ranchester. Tell me about the Ranchester location.
So we've opened up a new satellite museum location up in Ranchester at 480 U.S. Highway 14, right next to the Dry Bean and next to Tongue River Brewing. It's about a 4,000 square foot facility. It's got a gift shop full of dinosaur stuff, obviously, but also a great rock shop full of different rocks and minerals from around the state and around the world. We've got about 2,000 square feet of exhibit space with different fossils than what you can find in Sheridan. We got a brand new dig site that we just opened up with the state, and the new material that's coming out of that dig site's ending up in Ranchester, getting worked on, exciting stuff. And it's been well received. I mean, tourists are stopping by. I mean, we've had people from 12 different states come through that museum already.
Fantastic.
And so it is exciting, and we're looking at how we can grow that location as well as the one here on Sheridan College campus in the Mons Center. We're going to continue that museum. Looking at securing some new exhibits for this next year, keep everything fresh and exciting, and people have a reason to keep coming back in. And it's been a whirlwind. It really has.
Why was Ranchester chosen as a location?
One of the biggest reasons is because of the Highway 14 corridor. I mean, it's a gateway to Yellowstone. I mean, if you're coming from the Black Hills or anywhere out east, you're going to probably come through Ranchester at some point. And so it gave us an opportunity to expand our footprint into other areas of the state and the country without having to go spend millions of dollars on advertising everywhere around the world. We can now have a big sign on a major highway with millions of tourists coming through every year. As well as it gave an opportunity for the kids in those smaller communities, Ranchester, Dayton, Parkman, to have something local. We get a lot of kids that ride their bikes in and come in almost, once a week.
Yeah,
you just see what's new. And I'm like, nothing's changed in the last week, but, come on in. let's have a conversation. And it's exciting to see the kids get excited. I think it's an opportunity to work with the school districts up there as well to reinforce curriculum. That's where the responsibility really lies. It's not just digging up history. It's telling the story of the history and making sure that that gets communicated to the next generation. So hopefully we can find the next passionate paleontologist or museum director or archaeologist or anthropologist and give them a head start when they're 8 years old of they can go to college now and go, I've already worked on dinosaur bones. Yeah. I've been doing this for 10 years at a museum in town.
How cool would that be, right?
Yeah. Well, it's super exciting. I mean, we have several youth right now. We have five interns this summer, some from high school, some from Sheridan College that have come in. And they're learning all aspects of what we do, from running the gift shop and how to do inventory to giving tours in the museum to we took them out on dig sites and you're going to learn how to dig up a dinosaur and put it back together and work in the prep lab. So it's been super exciting. And for me, it's probably one of the more rewarding parts of what I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. When you dig up a dinosaur and you're holding your hands and you're looking at it and you're the first person, and you're like, okay, nobody knew this existed until I dug this up and I'm holding it right now. I mean, that's awesome. But when you can sit back and, I've been doing this for a few years now, and we have a young lady that's going to school at South Dakota School of Mines for paleontology. When I met her, she was a 13-year-old little quirky girl. Now she's, a 20-year-old junior traveling around doing presentations, and seeing that is really what inspires the entire concept of a museum. It is transferring that knowledge to the next generation because, when you and I are gone, whatever's in our heads going with us.
Yeah.
And so if we don't share that and get people excited and involved with that, then we're really kind of missing a huge opportunity to transfer that knowledge to the next generation.
When they approached you about, hey, we want to expand out to Manchester. Did the college approach you about doing it, or how did that work? Or did hey, I want to do that?
Yeah. There were a lot of things that came together there. I mean, obviously there's a huge opportunity. Sheridan College got funding to completely renovate and remodel the science building on campus, which is super exciting. I can't wait for that to be done. The students, the advantages for the faculty and everything there. I mean, what a great win for the community and for the students and faculty of Sheridan College. But it created some difficulties for us at the museum because we had about 1,100 dinosaur bones stored in that building. Ooh. And now it was like, you got to find a new home for this. And I'm like, well, the Mons Center is not big enough to hold all of this. So we began a search of looking for, okay, where could we go? What can we do with this? You know, how can we make the proverbial lemonade out of lemons type of situation? What can we do to grow the museum given the situation where we have to do this? Let's make a positive out of this. And we started looking at properties. We started looking at different opportunities, storage units. Where can we go? We got some great support from the Scott Foundation. They showed up and said, hey, we can help you out. Partnered with them on some ideas. But then this opportunity came up of all places on Facebook Marketplace. I saw this. I reached out to the owner of the building going, hey, can I take a look at this? This would be kind of cool. I mean, it's a great location, tons of traffic, help the kids in the community. It helps us with a place to go, additional exhibit space. I checked a lot of boxes off for
us.
And then met with the owners, Mark and Tammy Hyde, probably two of the nicest people I've ever met. Super excited and supportive owner. I mean, they're like, yeah, what do we got to do to get this in here? Because this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so it started that conversation. And again, it started that partnership with the community of we're all in this together. We're going to drive the bus. We're going to talk about dinosaurs and get people excited and get kids involved and get adults involved that want to learn how to do this. I mean, so many adults come up to me and go, I wanted to be a paleontologist when I was a kid. And I'm like, well, it's not too late.
Yeah.
Come
on
in.
It's never too late.
And so it really gave us the opportunity to expand our footprint, gave us additional space for exhibits, more prep lab area. It gave us an opportunity to really introduce a gift shop. Having a rock shop in a community like Manchester and Sheridan is huge because, I mean, let's be honest about it. Half the people that have come to our state are coming here for the rocks and minerals and go walk around and look at the ground.
Yeah.
You know, so it gave us an opportunity to get people to stop and slow down and, you know, come to Sheridan and see the museum here, stop in Manchester, see the one here, you know, let's have a conversation about how you can engage and get involved and how far do you want to participate? I mean, we can go literally from dig to display with you where we take you out and let you dig it up, bring you in, let you clean it up, put it back together, put your name on it, put it in a display case, and you get to have a chance to own that entire process from beginning to end. And I don't know any other museums that have that opportunity to allow for so much community engagement and citizen science participation to come and do this. And it's really one of the things that we're proud of, and it's one of the things that we want to grow and continue to grow. And it's one of the reasons why we went and found a new dinosaur dig site over near Newcastle. It's a little bit of a drive from here, but the dinosaurs are crazy, Floyd. I mean, we've been out there 6 days, and we've probably pulled out 300 fossils out of the ground.
Wow.
13 different species, everything from Triceratops to T-Rex to raptors to turtles to all coming out of the ground. And all that stuff's going to come, and it's going to stay in Wyoming, and it's going to stay in the Natural History Museum of Wyoming here in Sheridan and Manchester. And allow us the opportunity as, you know, to tell that story and keep it here. Because too many of our dinosaurs in Wyoming, believe it or not, get dug up and leave the state and don't come back.
Hmm.
And, you know, this is an opportunity for us as a state and Sheridan as a community to be in the driver's seat and say, no, enough. This stuff stays here. This is our story. This is an opportunity for us to get our kids involved with their education, get them excited about this. But also an economic opportunity for our community to get on the map of, I mean, you talk about the economic opportunity of dinosaurs. I mean, you go look at like the Museum of the Rockies in Bozeman. They probably get 200,000-300,000 visitors a year that are paying $20-$30 a piece to come in the door.
And to look at dinosaurs.
To look at dinosaurs. And then they're spending 2-3 days there. And they're going and checking out all the other things, you know. And here in Sheridan, we've got even more. I mean, we got easier access to dinosaurs. We got all the amenities. We've got the Brinton. We've got the museum at the Bighorns. We've got the Trails End Museum. We have reasons for people to come here, get excited about dinosaurs, but then go out into the community, engage with all the other opportunities there are in Sheridan to enjoy this community and be welcomed by the amazing people that are here.
Absolutely. So the choice, excuse me, the choice in what to put in the Manchester Museum Was that made for you, or just because, and when I say made for you, just circumstance where, well, I need to get these out of the science building and move them over there? Or did you sit back and go, I want this one on display, maybe put that one in the back? Did you pick and choose?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a process when it comes to what do we put on display and what we don't put on display. You know, most fossils, when we dig them up, are in really bad shape. I mean, they're broken. They're in pieces. We got to spend, you know, potentially months gluing and putting this all back together. So obviously the brand new stuff that we're finding, it's hard to get that out on display immediately. But the advantages with both museums is our fossil prep lab is open to the public and people can come in and see what we're working on. So even the new stuff people are getting to see, even before it goes out into a display case.
How cool is that?
And we get to tell that story and get people excited. But yeah, I mean, obviously limitations of the building come into play. Like, you know, if I have a 90-foot, you know, Camarasaurus, I can't put that in the building. Ranch, it's not going to fit. So there are things that come into it, and, you know, making the space visitor friendly, because ultimately that's the whole point of this. Mm-hmm. Is it's all about the people who come and engage at the museum. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with anything else. It is all about greeting those people when they come in the door, making it as enjoyable of an experience as possible, and making sure that they leave there excited about learning, excited about the opportunities that are available for them to participate. I mean, I have people reach out to me every week from all over the country going, how do we get to come dig with you? How do we get to come and participate in this? I mean, Missouri, Connecticut, Delaware, Rhode Island, Texas, Arizona. I've had them from all over. I've had people from Mexico even message going, hey, we're coming to the States. Can we come join you? Absolutely. What are your dates? You're coming. you know, because that's, you know, to my own detriment sometimes, that's my pat answer is, yes, we can figure this out. I don't want to be the one that says no to any opportunity for somebody. Because, you know, as we've talked before, my life story is if somebody wouldn't have said yes and I had an opportunity to go out and dig up a dinosaur 16 years ago, I wouldn't be sitting here with you right now.
Yeah, it changed your life.
It changed the complete direction and took me in areas that I would have never dreamed. I would have never dreamed I was going to be a director of a museum. Would have never dreamed I'm digging up dinosaurs. Would have never dreamed I'm working on world-changing research right now in regards to how do we geolocate fossils? And I mean, just stuff I would just wasn't even on my radar. And I don't know, that next 35-year-old guy that comes walking through might be me. And this might be the one thing that shifts their entire direction and trajectory in their life. Or that 8-year-old little girl that comes in and goes, I want to do this.
Yep.
And okay, great. What do we have to do to support you on this? Because it can be a tough road, especially for young people in science. It's getting harder and harder to find ways to get them engaged and have hands-on experiences because of limited resources, limited budgets. I mean, we all know the stories that are there, and this is something that we can do to encourage and support that and make it available to a kid of any age. I don't care how young or old you are. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, that's fantastic. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Natural History Museum of Wyoming when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advised fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Time for Sheridan County Fair Hourly Update, presented in part by Heartland Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Hey, make sure and thank our great sponsors, and thank the sponsors of the fair itself. We couldn't do it with all these great sponsorships. Today's the day. Livestock sale going to get underway. Cattle Women's Buyers Dinner will be in the exhibit hall, and the open ceremonies in the sale ring will be at 5 o'clock, and the youth livestock sale gets underway at 5:30. Let's get out tonight and support our Sheridan County livestock youth, okay? SheridanMedia.tv, SheridanMedia.com, live streaming the event. Sheridan County Fair Update, presented in part by Heartland Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large animal. And thanks, everyone. And thanks to our fabulous sponsors. Couldn't do it without you. We'll see you tonight at the livestock sale. Have fun.
In Wyoming, the weather doesn't ask for permission. One day it's sunshine, the next it's 37 degrees and sleeting. That's why homeowners call Branded 307 Roofing and Exteriors. From residential shingles to standing seam metal roofing and full commercial systems, they're built for the Wyoming weather. And when storms hit, we help guide you through the insurance process from start to finish. Call today for your free inspection or visit Branded307.com. Branded 307 Roofing and Exteriors, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Got a few speeding tickets or a blemish on your driving record that makes it feel like your unique situation is being held against you? Insurance shouldn't feel out of reach just because your past isn't perfect, and it definitely shouldn't break the bank. At Iron Valley Insurance Group, they work with drivers who want fair options and straightforward guidance, helping you find coverage that fits your life today, not just what's on paper. Don't let your past define you. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Stop by or request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
It's that time of year again. Crazy Days is coming to historic downtown Sheridan on August 6th, 7th, and 8th. Bring your friends, grab a coffee or lunch at one of our amazing restaurants or coffee shops, and spend the day in shop till you drop, 80s style. Throw on your brightest neon, tease up your hair, and head downtown for crazy savings at your favorite local businesses. You'll find sidewalk sales, curb sales, in-store specials, and deals you won't want to miss. For a complete list of participating businesses, visit the Downtown Sheridan Association Facebook page.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Natural History Museum of Wyoming Executive Director Tom J. Hebert. Now, Tom, real quick, we talked about the museum in Ranchester. Just so some folks know it, what is the address of that one more time?
Yeah, it's 480 U.S. Highway 14. It's right in the middle of the town, almost right next to Dry Bean, the little coffee hut, Tongue River Brewing. For those that have been in the community forever, it was originally a taxidermy business, then a mushroom farm, and then a daycare, and now a natural history museum. So, you know,
building's seen it all.
Just the story of the building is historical. And so we have a lot of fun with that. There's plenty of parking, plenty of access. We've got lots of room. We invite everyone and anyone to stop in, please. We're open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 to 5 right now, looking at hopefully expanding hours, but also learning the community and what days are busy and what days aren't. There's only so many dollars in the coffer and only so much staff and only so many volunteers to cover so many hours that sometimes it's difficult to have staff in there. But we appreciate everybody's patience as we work through these first few months of balancing two locations and staff and displays. But please come in, and we love hearing feedback from everyone that comes in and suggestions. I mean, some of the best ideas we had for displays were people going, why don't you have something like this out on display? You know what? That's a really good question.
Yeah.
We have one of those right there in that other room. Let's go grab it and put it out here. So again, it's a participatory museum. We want people to take an ownership. This is your museum. I'm just a caretaker. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, that's the whole job. My job is to just make sure the stuff's taken care of, goes out on display. But more importantly, is to make sure that if the public wants something, we go try and figure out a way to make it happen. You know, and that's it's not always the easiest thing to do, but, I've never really backed down from a challenge. I mean, go ahead and tell me I can't do something, and I'm going to figure out exactly how to get it done. You know, originally from Wisconsin, the expression back home was, is hold my beer and watch this. I'm going to show you how this gets done. And it's amazing that attitude is so prevalent in Sheridan and in the county, Ranchester, Dayton. It's very much that rancher mentality of, we don't have a luxury of sitting here complaining about something that's broken or not working. We just have to get it done because the job still has to be done at the end of the day. And so it's super exciting to have the community participate and come in and join us on digs. I mean, we got one day of digging out in Buffalo this year, and we had, I don't know, a dozen people out.
Oh, wow.
And most of them were homeschool kids, and the parents came, and this was a way to reinforce homeschool curriculum and get them hands-on experiences. But now their stuff's in the museum. The stuff they found is there, and we're working on cleaning it up and identifying it, and it's going to be out in the museum. And, you know, the parents were probably even more excited than the kids for a lot of this. And it was great to see that family bonding over something like this. You know, where else can a mom, a dad, and two kids go out and do something that literally changes our view of the world, rewrites history? Because up until they dig up that dinosaur bone, we don't even know it exists. And carry that experience and memory with them the rest of their lives, and have physical proof that they can bring their grandkids in 30 years and go, it's right there, it's my name on it. I told you I dug up a dinosaur.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot of fun. That's the exciting part of the world that I get to be fortunate enough to play in and participate in and enjoy.
Now, is this the Dino Dig program?
No.
The Dino Dig
Adventure. That's a whole new program that we're just rolling out. You know, it's our Dino Dig Adventure. We have two different programs going right now. One's a 4-day adventure where you come and join us for 4 days. The other one we just launched out like 2-3 days ago. It's a back to school special. So as we get closer to back to school, we're just doing weekend trips that are a little more affordable. And it's taking people out to our new dig site. We just got a new dig site out near Newcastle. It's a little bit of a drive from Sheridan, but that's why we're doing multiple days. Is okay, let's make this an adventure. We're going to go out. And like I said earlier, we've dug up 13 different species of animals on this dig site. That's, I mean, right now it's 15 feet wide by 2 feet deep. It's not a big area. And we've got so much more to discover.
Holy cow. You found all that in that little area.
We found partial Triceratops horns. We've got partial T-Rex femur. We've got teeth.
That's incredible.
I mean, it's just, and it was really, that's why it came about is this is something I've always wanted to do with the museum here, because we have access. We have something that a lot of museums don't have, and that's the ability to go out and actually collect our own specimens.
Yeah.
Most museums have to go buy stuff or wait for donors to drop stuff off. And so having the ability that we now have a site that we can go work on whenever we want. It's not landlocked. We don't have to wait for anybody's permission to go across this, do that. Nope. If we want to load up after the show Floyd and go drive over there, we can go dig dinosaurs the rest of the afternoon, and we're going to pull out a ton of dinosaur bones in the next 6 hours.
That's incredible.
It is. And so it's one of those things that we want to make sure we provide the opportunity for people to come and participate. You know, and it's an opportunity for us as a museum that, we can generate our own revenue. We can go out and expand our programs now because we have consistent money coming in. We can add exhibits. We can get more equipment so we can have more kids come in and learn how to clean up dinosaur bones. I mean, that's the whole point of this is to get people to participate. And with the funding that we can get from this program and people coming out and having, I mean, a life-changing experience of digging up a dinosaur. I mean, it's one of the biggest questions I get is, well, what do we get out of this? A life-changing experience. You're digging up a 66-million-year-old dinosaur. It's one of the last dinosaurs to walk on Earth, and you're going to be the one that discovers it. You're going to be the first one to hold it. And, you know, for those that are listening right now, you get to come to the museum, and we'll teach you how to put it back together. We'll teach you how to finish it up. We'll help you display it. We'll put your name on that this was found by Floyd Whiting and it was prepared by Floyd Whiting, and that's what's on the card in the case for it. So you're making history, and I just, you know, can you really put even a dollar figure on that? I
mean, no.
In my mind, you can't. Plus, this is the opportunity to go out someplace that nobody knows where you are. I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere. You know what? The closest thing to us is a couple oil wells, and that's about it. Other than that, there's nothing out there except dinosaurs.
Let's see that. How true Wyoming is that? Digging out dinosaurs with a couple oil wells down the road.
Absolutely.
How does somebody join this Dino Dig Adventure?
Easiest way is to go to our website, nhmofwyoming.org, and it's actually our homepage. I'll be working on the website this afternoon, updating it to add in for our back-to-school special, so you can book those all online. If that doesn't work, you can call the museum at 307-210-8754 and talk to someone and book it through the phone. Or you can send us an email at info@nhmofwyoming.org and let us know what dates you want. And, you know, we do whatever we can to accommodate people that have travel schedules and vacation schedules. If we can make it work in a schedule and have somebody take you out, we're going to figure out a way to do it. Because again, like we were talking earlier, I mean, you bring out a family, and now it's mom, dad, and son and daughter, and the four of them. And I mean, I just had this experience on the dig site a month ago. We actually had a family here from Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
And took them out there, and the dad was digging, and I'm like, okay, I see something right there. And it's got this perfect roundness to it. I mean, just perfectly round. And there's only a couple bones that have something like that associated with it. I'm like, all right, take your time. And because I don't jump in. It's, no, you're here to dig. You're going to dig it up yourself. I'm fortunate enough. I can do this kind of whenever I want, if I really want to. This is your experience. And all of a sudden, dad was digging. He's like, oh, it's getting bigger. I'm like, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I have an idea. I know what that is already. And then the two sons are like, dad, can we help you? Yeah. So now I got dad and two sons. And these sons are in their 20s. I mean, these aren't little kids. This is three grown adults now sitting there and watching them turn into 10-year-old children.
Yeah.
And watching them talk to each other and engage with each other. Those conversations that were had while digging up this dinosaur bone between that family, I couldn't charge you enough for that experience of what it's worth. And so eventually they're getting it, and they got it all exposed, and they're like, Tom, what is it? I'm like, oh, I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you yet. You know, go ahead and keep digging. There should be a little more there. And by the time it was done, they completely exposed what's called an occipital condyle. It's the base of the skull of a triceratops.
Oh, wow.
It's the big ball on the end that goes to the first vertebrae and allows for rotation of the head and everything. And it's got the neural arch where the spinal cord comes through into the brain case. And I'm like, yeah, that's what that is. And
incredible.
I'm crazy. And the dad's name was Tom by coincidence. I said, Tom, now pick it up. And he's looking at me like, oh, no, it's going to break. I'm like, oh, bad news. My dig site, my rules. Pick it up. And he picks it up and he's holding it. And I'm like, you know, you're the first person that's ever held that, right? And just I sat there and looked at him, and the look on his face of like, I never really thought about that. And I know I've shared this story a few times on the program, but it's one of those things that's so profound for me.
Yeah.
Of people have the opportunity, like, you realize that until you dug that up, it's never seen sunlight.
You're the first.
And until you dug that up, we didn't even know that dinosaur existed. I mean, the amount of history that you just made in the last 2-3 hours of digging that up, not just the history of the dinosaur, I mean, the first one and first one to hold it, but the history with your own family. This is a story that's going to live on in that family forever. Of those kids are going to tell their kids about, yeah, we dug up a dinosaur with grandpa. No, you didn't. All right, we're going on a family trip because I know where it is.
Yeah.
You know, and then the kids are going to tell their kids. And now the grandkids are hearing the story about how grandpa dug up a triceratops. And they're like, you're full of baloney. And, you know, that's what we're talking about. Not just making history of digging up dinosaurs, but making history for your family to look at something and be part of something so much bigger than any of us could even comprehend. I mean, to this day, I still see her. I do this stuff regularly. It's just like, I just dug up a dinosaur.
Well, Tom, I've run out of time with you, my friend. I want to thank you for coming in and exciting people about digging up dinosaurs. And thanks for everything that you do in the community. And I hope this Ranchester site just kicks off. Sounds like it's doing really well.
It's doing really well. And thank you, Floyd, for what you do for the community. Allow people like me to be able to come share a story and let the community know all the resources that are here. And, you know, I'm just grateful that I get to help out and do what I can every day to not only help the museum, but the community around us.
Thanks, my friend. All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with Independent Living Wyoming. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. At 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Time for Sheridan County Fair Hourly Update, presented in part by Heartland Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Make sure and thank our sponsors for these updates, as we've been doing them all week long and into the weekends. And today is the day, folks, the Sheridan County Youth Livestock Sale.
The Cattle Women's Buyer's Dinner will be in the exhibit hall, the opening ceremonies and the sale ring at 5 o'clock. And then the sale itself gets underway at 5:30. Let's get out and support our Sheridan County youth, okay? They need your support. SheridanMedia.com, live streaming the livestock sale. SheridanMedia.tv, SheridanMedia.com, Sheridan County Fair Hourly Update, presented in part by Heartland Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Enjoy your day today and get out and support the youth of Sheridan County. We'll see you tonight at the livestock sale.
Joe Biden and the radical Democrats spent recklessly, raised your taxes, and tried to shut down American energy. Their EPA went after Wyoming ranches and farms. The result? Record prices and inflation. Conservative Steve Freese has a plan to make life affordable again.
People ask me, why does everything cost so much? It's simple. Politicians tax too much and spend too much. As a businessman, I know the value of a dollar and how to balance a budget. Take it from me, we can cut spending. Politicians just have to try. In Congress, I'll tighten government's belt. We'll cut outright fraud and keep taxes low. And more energy production means everything costs less.
Steve's plan? Lower taxes, less regulation, stop the fraud, end the reckless spending, produce more Wyoming energy.
I'm Steve Freese, and I prove this message because I want to keep your money in your pocket.
Paid for by Freese for Wyoming.
Today, you may not need senior services, but someday, you or someone you love will. Transportation, meals, and wellness programs at the Hub on Smith help keep our seniors independent and in their homes, saving money on costly care. On August 18th, vote yes to establish a countywide senior citizen service district and protect these critical senior services. Learn more at SheridanCountySeniorDistrict.org, paid for by Sheridan County for Seniors 2026 PAC.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we are joined by independent living specialist, Cora Cresselius. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
How you been?
Very well, thank you.
Good. All right. So, for listeners who may not know what we're talking about, what is Wyoming Independent Living and what is the mission?
We exist to decrease barriers for people experiencing disabilities, physical, mental, emotional disabilities. We try to create a world without barriers where they can participate fully in the community of their choice.
Now, I'm going to go off topic here because this is your world.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you see things going on within communities that you visit where you don't see that access?
It's alarmingly frequent.
Really?
That people feel isolated, feel alone, and feel like they're the only ones in the world facing these problems.
That's so unfortunate to
hear. It's beautiful to connect them, though.
Yeah.
And to see the light in their eyes. Oh, you experienced this, too? You've solved this problem, too? You know how I feel? You know how to do this? Yeah.
Are a lot of individuals who were feeling that isolation, are they looking primarily for that? Almost like a familiarization where it's
yes.
like, you get it.
To be treated like a person, to be listened to not be seen just as their disability, but to be seen as human beings experiencing challenges in a world full of barriers.
And that's got to be pretty difficult for folks because we all kind of go in our own heads. All too often, and think, well, this is different about myself, but at least nobody sees it.
Exactly. You know?
Now wear that on the outside on your sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And there are so many invisible disabilities that people experience as well. But especially in a state like Wyoming, with a lot of rural areas and transportation problems and access issues, people feel isolated quite frequently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of getting set off, almost feeling set off to the side.
Absolutely. Yes. Like, they don't belong in a world that does not ask them to be invited.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you help individuals live more independently?
We can teach independent living skills like budgeting and communication and access. We help people find accessible technology like ramps and grab bars and ways to manage getting in and out of bed and out in and out of a chair, ways to cook their food, glasses, readers so that they can see things. There's a talking book program so that people who have lost their vision can still access literature and magazines and letters. And we help connect them with other people who have experienced similar challenges, who have faced similar circumstances, so that they can problem solve together to meet their individual needs.
You know, I think about how independent we are as a people here in Wyoming, and our fellow residents with disabilities are just as independent as we are. They feel that desire to be independent. I can do it on my own. But then with a disability getting in your way or accessibility getting in the way, that's got to be a whole nother level of frustration that a lot of us may not understand.
It absolutely is. And so a lot of people's reaction is to become increasingly defensive. Mm. But to invite people into a room that share something in common. Everyone wants to help each other and wants to advocate for each other. Next month, we're it's August already. Yeah, we're having a peer advocacy conference in Casper, which is a gathering of individuals with disabilities from across the eastern half of the state, and in order to connect them. And our theme this year is Voices of Change. And we'll talk about self-advocacy and advocating for each other, politically, in the community, in their own homes. Advocacy is a very foundational part of Wyoming independent living.
How did you get involved in all of this?
I have a severe traumatic brain injury, and I was struggling to find work. And someone said, well, why don't you look into them? I was like, I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
I'm from Sheridan, Wyoming. I know everyone and everything. I'm sure if there were an organization like that, I would have heard of it. But I hadn't. And so I came down and applied, and I have learned so much about my community where I have been born and raised since joining this organization. I have so much admiration for my coworkers, for the people who I work with every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movement, when it initially kind of began, when you began with it, what was that like having that curtain drawn back?
It was an entirely different understanding of the world. It was a social model that we see people first and disabilities second. We don't see a medical model where people need to be fixed or changed to fit into the broader world. We need to accommodate so that everyone has access, because access helps everyone.
Cora, I'm so glad that you said that. I don't need to be fixed or changed.
Exactly.
And I feel like so many people want to help, and they think that's how I'm going to help. I'm going to fix or change you.
Yes.
Fix and change the environment around me so that I can get out and do the things that you get to do every day.
Absolutely.
And there's so many things that I think we all take for granted.
So many. Yes.
Let's talk about this peer advocacy conference coming up in Casper. You touched on the topics.
Mm-hmm.
How can people jump in, participate,
they
learn
can
more?
Look at our website and easily access the Peer Advocacy Conference from the Wyoming Independent Living website. And we have this every year. It's a gathering in Casper. We stay together in a hotel or at nearby hotels and gather in the hotel meeting area every day. And we have speakers and activities and projects. And it's exciting. We listen to each other. We hear each other. And we get to speak and collaborate and learn.
And this is more than just organizations, isn't it? Like families.
Absolutely. Individuals of any age. We are increasing our reach to youth. The first night, we're having a youth night.
Oh, wow.
of activities, or we can share stories and dance. Last year, a few individuals brought guitars, and we gathered to watch a movie, and we ended up just playing music and dancing. It felt so amazing. All these, like, I didn't know you knew that song.
Well, and it's community.
Yes.
On a level that I think a lot of people, again, we might take for granted, but to be able to sit there and you said something, I hear you. I'm not just listening. I hear you. And to be able to sit in a seat and say, I not only hear you, I get it. Because same thing has happened to me, or the same challenges I wake up and face every single day of my life.
Yes.
That's got to be very empowering to sit there in that community and get that. When the speakers are up there, what are some of the things that they're going to talk about?
They're going to talk about ways that individuals can get involved in larger projects and make their concerns heard about transportation and housing and employment and affordability and connecting with other people. We're going to let people know they aren't alone in their challenges and what they can do to change.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's facing those challenges, the things that you just said, those are hard even if I'm living my life without a disability. And now throw another hurdle or a challenge in my way, and I've got to learn how to live around and with through that.
Exactly. And so there is so much independence that is striven for by all these individuals, but the connections between us and the community that we create by hearing voices and being heard is so powerful.
Tell me about one of those moments for you.
Oh my goodness. I just, that evening last year at the PAC, we had all been looking forward to getting together and just relaxing and watching a movie. And one guy was like, well, I have a guitar. And the other one, I have one too. And they pulled them out and we played some karaoke and people started dancing. And I mean, it was at the end of a long day and we had all just been looking forward to just chilling out and watching a movie.
Yeah.
But it felt so good to see these people come alive. Like, I can play music and you can play with me. And it was so beautiful. And it was completely unplanned. We work all year to plan this peer advocacy conference, to plan the activities, to get people to come join us. But I love the spontaneous moments, too.
And it's so human.
Yeah.
You know, and to see all that joy.
Yes.
Just suddenly surface out of a spontaneous event. That's amazing.
It really is.
How do I take part in this? What do I need to do?
Well, if you would like to just learn more, visit our website, and it's really comprehensive. We have an office here in Sheridan, one in Casper, one in Gillette, one in Laramie, and one in Cheyenne. So we're the entire eastern half of the state. And we have so many projects and services, and we can connect people with each other. And we all gather online once a week for Create and Connect, and once every other week for YDPAC and Y. We have lots of groups that gather online. Zoom has been brought fully into our realm in light of COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
And because we live a long way from each other, and a lot of the year it's not feasible to drive to get to a common location. And so people can access each other and our services from home using Zoom.
Now, when it comes to who can participate, if someone wants to, just help out, mm-hmm. is there an opportunity for them to volunteer at all?
Absolutely. They can reach out to us and we can help connect them to groups accepting volunteers. We're so lucky here in Sheridan because of the hub.
Mm.
And we love when people get involved and tell us what they want to do and how they need help and what help they have to offer. We can connect people.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
One thing, I've got some friends and if their child has a disability and they're wondering, what's my next step? How do, 'cause they want Every parent wants their child to live independently and live well. Can they jump in and, you know, even if the child is still young, and come and just kind of learn some of these services?
We do not have age limits. And so anyone can access our programs and services, and transition from high school to life afterwards is a huge part of what we're doing. I have been able to volunteer at BOCES, B-O-C-E-S, which is like special ed offered by the school district outside of the school.
Oh, wow.
And I've been able to do projects like community living skills, where once a week we talk about a theme like housing, transportation, budgeting, cooking healthily at home. Just life skills that we'll all talk about that we will need to develop for ourselves before we graduate high school and transition to independence. And so transition services is a big part of what Wyoming Independent Living does. Transitioning from a care facility like a hospital or a nursing home to independent living, or transitioning from high school to adulthood.
That's fantastic. That way when it makes everything a lot less scary, because I've got a team behind me who want to educate me and give me resources to help me through this transition. Being alone, I think, is one of the biggest fears in the world. And that's got to be such a lonely feeling. And knowing that Wyoming Independent Living is there. Hey, we're going to help you through this. If you don't know something, that's fine. We're going to teach you how to do it.
We'll figure it out together.
I love that.
And we can connect you with somebody else who has done this before.
Yeah.
Or is doing something similar.
No reason to reinvent the wheel, my friend.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cora, I've run out of time with you. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and speaking with me about Wyoming Independent Living this morning and some of the fantastic opportunities that people have to get out there and live their life. Thank you.
We're so wealthy here in Wyoming, connecting with each other.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advice fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
If we can't trust the process, what can we trust? Our elections should follow the law every time. But we've seen election administration failures and violations of state election statutes that have left too many voters wondering whether they can trust the process. As your county clerk, I'll make sure the job is done right, following the law, protecting every lawful ballot, and putting election integrity first. The county clerk's job isn't to make the rules, it's to follow them, and that's exactly what I'll do. Paid for by Christine Temple for County Clerk.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stopped China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.